the end of another week, but we're just getting started with our critical take on the film business and the business of film in the company of Jesse Quinones, Paulette Harris-German, Paul Atherton, Lawashka Ivanzada, and Isaac Tomacek. I'm Emmanuel Anyumasigwe, and if it's Friday night, it is Meet the Critics. Those of you just joining us, we'd like to thank you. Glad to have you along with us also. Right, we have a lot to get through before the hour passes us, because there are five of us today, so it's a bumper show. And it's a bumper personality, really, to kick things off. So we are going to talk on the legacy of Ashley Waters, one of the UK's most famous faces in a career which has already clocked up 25 years. It's been an incredible 25 years, which has seen Ashley star in some of the most iconic TV shows and movies ever made, from Top Boy to Grange Hill, Bullet Boy to Get Rich or Die Trying. It is an unrivaled list of credits, which, if you include all the stage plays, plus his work as a recording artist, demonstrates his relentless work ethic, the sheer breadth of quality, and the massive admiration that he has held, both here in the UK and internationally. Waters appeared on television as Omar in the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles at the age of 10 and as Andy in Grange Hill at the age of 14. His list of film credits includes Montana, Bullet Boy, Get Rich or Die Trying, Demons Never Die, Life and Lyrics, Sugar House, Goal, Feds and Another Hood. His list of TV credits includes Top Boy, Hustle, West End London, Small Island, Inside Men, Storm Damage, Silent Witness, Cuffs, Truckers, Outcasts, and Doctor Who. Waters performed on stage in 2002 at the Royal National Theatre in Roy Williams' Senior Heart Out for the Lads, and in 2008 at the Royal Court Theatre in Levi David Adai's Oxford Street. He also appeared in Bola Agbaje's play Off the Ends at the Royal Court Theatre during February and March 2010. And as we're about to find out, there is so much more to Ashley Waters. So let's kick this off with Jesse Quinones. Jesse, when you think of Ashley Waters, what comes to your mind immediately?
Eclectic. I think he's got one of the most diverse careers. He kind of reminds me of Tupac for some reason. Like, his kind of the trajectory of his career, going from music, hip hop, and when he was with So Solid, and then kind of becoming such an amazing actor. I think he really turned heads, especially starting off with Bullet Boy. And I just think he's an incredibly talented guy, and whatever he puts his hands on just becomes a work of art. And he's delivered some of the best performances both on TV and film, so I'm a huge fan of his work.
We've had eclectic. What do you have?
I have versatility, which I guess is similar, but it is just his the way that Ashley is able to just adapt himself to whatever environment he is in. Him as a personality doesn't change no matter which environment he is. He's consistent, but the versatility, what he brings to his work, in the way that he's able to deliver it, is what I see. Going like what Jesse says with the music. The way he's able, I saw him do some freestyle rapping yesterday and part of my research. And he's just kind of like just leaning over a balcony or a banister of sorts. And he's just like, he might as well still be on the ends. He might as well still be that teenager in Peckham. But yeah, we know how much he's risen up in the food chain, so to speak, of performance. And what I like about that is that sometimes what I've seen from some of the American actors is that once they've kind of crossed that threshold of their success, it's very difficult. They find it difficult to go back to who or what they came from. They don't seem to be able to make that transition back. I could quote, but I won't. But that's the observation that I've made. And he's just consistent. We were with him just the other day, and he could still be that boy from Peckham.
Okay, Paul, we've had eclectic and versatility. What do you have?
For me, it's impactful. I first came to see his work in Hustle when he came in Series 4. And, that was a tough thing. You're kind of coming in as a new character. You're coming in with an established team, and to make your mark in that environment with such great talent as well was really, really hard work. And he did it brilliantly, and he brought that character to life. And he really did actually bring a new dimension to the entire show when it was actually kind of flagging after series three. But you know, where do you go when you start? Your first job is with George Lucas on Indiana Jones. I mean, you know, he's done brilliantly well. The only disappointment for me is I've never seen him live on stage. And as you know, I'm a big theatre fan, so unfortunately I missed him in the Royal Court, and I'd really, really love to. So I hope he does some more very soon.
Excellent. Laroshka?
Okay, we're going for single words here, so I'm going to go exciting, which was, I remember when I first saw Bullet Boy, and that sounds terrible, pun or whatever, but yeah, it blew us all away, didn't it? Bullet Boy, it was an astonishing performance, and it was such an impactful film. And he deservedly was up for the British Independent Film Award for that. It was a breakthrough. And I think exciting because although he's got this huge body of work behind him, he's only 35 still.
Indeed.
He's got so much ahead of him. And I just can't wait to see what he's doing next. And when I was speaking to him at the Buff launch, he was saying that, you know, once he did Bullet Boy, he spent like the next 7 years trying not to do Bullet Boy again and trying not to repeat it. And it was only because Top Boy came up and it was so good that he was like, okay, kind of go back and do that again. But he's really determined to try and break new ground, and that's why I'm, you know, just can't wait to see what he's going to do in the future.
Isaac, what words can you add?
I would have to say forerunner. I think he's kind of like the first of a new generation for me anyways, because I was kind of a little bit younger than him when he was coming through. So everything he did kind of laid the foundations for all the stuff we wanted to do when we were growing up, whether it be music or film, theater. And yeah, I've seen him in a lot of stuff, and it was just, I think Storm Damage was the thing for me. When I saw Storm Damage, that kind of was the litmus test, and it laid the foundations for everything else he did after that, really.
Okay, I mean, you said eclectic right at the top, Jesse. I mean, there's so many things we can talk about with Ashley. But let's talk about Top Boy, which is obviously the one which many have said that's kind of really catapulted him in terms of the mainstream exposure, the international, worldwide exposure, etc. Talk to me about Ashley's performance in Top Boy and kind of...
I think it was, it just was such a nuanced performance, you know. It really showed that he can carry a show, a TV show, in a sense. I mean, he was sort of, every time he was on screen, he was completely watchable and complex, you know, and had that beautiful blend of rough and smooth. And, you know, I think it's really hard for an actor to do. And it's something you can't quite, you know, I know as a director, when I'm looking at actors, it's like you can't quite put your finger on it, but you just know when somebody has it. And he's got that thing that I think is, it's just in him, that really complex and sort of a really deep way of looking, of approaching things. Yeah, I loved it.
Paul Paulette, thoughts about Top Boy?
Throw me under the bus, babe. I didn't watch it. There was so much... I know, Isaac, stop. I have to be honest, I could lie.
These are critics.
I wouldn't mind, you know. No, but my nephew was in it.
Right, okay. Okay, here we go. Yes.
Oh my God. God bless him. He's going to kill me too. So I'm going to have to... I know I'm a bad critic in this regard. However, I've read some of the reviews, so I can corroborate what Jesse's saying. And I would probably take it a little way from Top Boy and talk about Small Island.
Yes, go ahead.
I absolutely loved him in Small Island. It was beautiful because of his ability to transcend time. In that regard, because it was a period piece, and he was so believable, and I think that is what it is with Ashley. He has that chameleon effect. He's the energy. It's not physical. It's not on his face. It's the energy that he brings. He was playing this man from the 1960s from the Caribbean. It's like, you know, you're born in Peckham. Yes, you grew up with your parents, but even just his physicality, body-wise, but the energy he brought and the maturity that he brought to the character in Small Island, I could understand how that then would transcend into something like Top Boy, especially when he had the legacy of Bullet Boy to fall back on.
Okay. Nicely dealt with there. Paul.
Oh, yeah, I'm probably have to come in with Small Island as well, because it was... When you get a character like that and you're able to inhabit it, you can really translate something that actors often don't show, because you know you're stepping outside of your realm of knowledge. And finding the depth in that character is a talent I don't think we find very often, because normally everybody draws on their own life experiences. But as soon as you kind of go backwards in time, you've got to find something else. And I thought he just put himself in that place, discovered the essence of what it was to be in that time, in that environment, and just delivered it perfectly. And I think in a lot of his work, and I've seen a couple of his early episodes of Grange Hill as well, you know, he just seems to be able to capture the essence of a character, deliver something, and it's not him. He reminds me very much of Gary Oldman. He kind of steps out of being him and becomes utterly the character, and he's not kind of Al Pacino, where Al Pacino goes, oh, I'm Al Pacino. You know, he does really inhabit the character like Oldman did.
Laroshka, I'm sure you've seen Top Boy and Small Island.
Oh, I'm very film focused, as you know.
And we will come on to the film
stuff. But I mean, I think it's interesting with Top Boy, because it was, you know, it's a star performance as well. And, you know, he was all over the buses, wasn't he, all over London. You'd see the spread of him. I mean, he has that charisma and that, although, you know, he's got both, because what you're describing more, it sounds more like, I mean, you said Gary Oldman, but in a way it's a kind of character actor ability to kind of sink into a part. But he also carries with him that leading man star charisma, which has its own, it brings its own thing. Perhaps that's what you were talking about, Paulette, of staying true to yourself and having something within your core that you can bring to every part, even though that you're moving around. Yeah. I mean, there's been much talk about whether Top Boy will come back for a third season or not. I mean, he still seems to be up for it. I don't know if it's had its time. It was so impactful at the time, and bringing it back would do something else. And there's a lot of fans out there who'd like to see it back on screen again.
Isaac, I know you're a massive Top Boy fan. And Small Island to that extent.
Yeah, I don't like people saying that, though, because it always gets into a debate about the show. We always end up debating and arguing about the show itself. I love the show, but I think my favorite thing he's done is probably Bullet Boy, because I think it's the best kind of package. The film is amazing. His role in that is, his performance in that is just strikingly memorable.
Okay. Short and sweet, I guess.
Oh, okay. You kind of cut out of it, so I couldn't really hear you. So I
wasn't. Oh, right. And Bullet Boy was in 2006, wasn't it?
No, Bullet Boy was 2004.
And
2004. I remember I was shooting on 16mm, and that was shot on 16mm, and it's just a very unique British movie. There aren't really many like it. You know, it's really respectful. It's really hard hitting. Yeah, it's just, and he's class in it. But I've seen a lot of stuff that he's in, so it's very hard for me to pin down one particular performance, I'm afraid.
Well, we've got an hour, Isaac, so I will try and get you on that at some point, but let's leave it there. This is Friday Nights on Colourful Radio, and you're listening to Meet the Critics. And we are continuing our conversation on Ashley Waters. Now, just before the break, Isaac was talking about his performance in Bullet Boy. And Jesse, you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, no, I'm good friends with Katherine Johnson, who was the writer of Bullet Boy. So I had a little bit of insight, you know, from conversations with her. I think what really should be celebrated with that one, it was not an easy film to get made. And it was sort of the first of its kind in many ways, and opened up doors for a genre, in a sense, of films that followed. So I think it's done a lot for the filmmaking, especially the films of, you know, looking at black and ethnic minority culture from the inside. And I think, you know, that it had a black writer, a black producer, black lead, I think those things are really important. If I'm gonna criticize a little bit, one thing about Top Boy that I didn't like was that behind the camera, there was nobody of an ethnic minority culture. And at the time when it came out, I thought the show was fantastic, but that was one thing that bothered me a lot, you know, because it was sort of an outsider coming into this community and telling their story. And the only people that really had ownership of it, of the story in a sense, because the people behind the camera have an ownership of it in a sense, had no insight, personal insight into that world. And that was one thing I did like about Bullet Boy. And I think it should be celebrated about
that. That's the debate that I always end up getting into.
Yeah, I figured that when you mentioned that.
Yeah, right, the stage is yours, Isaac. Go ahead.
No, it's just frustrating because for me, my experience with Ashley stretches back to my school days, because he went to the same school as me. Mm. I went to the same school as him. We went to the same school with each other, basically. and so, you know, when that show came on, it was kind of like, he's front and center. He's on the buses. This guy is like from the same area as me. And I was just mad proud. It's a really important moment to see that. But so the argument that was raised and the debate about Top Boy sort of not having that authorship, I guess, kind of, yeah, it was frustrating. But at the same time, you know, he's starring in his own show. So I was just like, whatever, it's awesome. that was my argument generally. Mm. It's tough, but he does so well in it, you know. So you're kind of like that. It's a tricky one.
Yeah, no, I think he's amazing, and it's not his fault. What the context, you know, he should be celebrated, and there should be more shows, you know, like that. I think the debate, because I was kind of, I remember when it came out, there was a lot of talk about that, and I think it was more on, you know, Cowboy Films and the production company behind it, and Channel 4 kind of putting a bit more emphasis on who they're going to hire behind the camera. But debate is good, I think.
And it'll be interesting if Drake does get his way and we get a season 3 and Drake is the guy who's funding it and getting it into Netflix's, onto their roster, then there potentially will be ownership of a different kind.
So. And now Ashley is in a different position as well, where maybe he can kind of put some things in place, get a producer credit or an executive producer credit and be in charge of that.
Yeah. Saying that, Kano's in a great place as well. I mean, the show itself has kind of benefited from those 2 or 3 years of it being away and their careers kind of going off in separate directions. So,
Do you not think Top Boy could have been a movie? Or was it just me? Because that's what I thought at the time watching it.
You lose all of that. Like, the great thing about it is you do have that kind of cliffhanger element. You know, the 4 episodes were so well made. And so that 4 hours is, it's, I don't know, I wouldn't want to condense that to 2 hours. I like having 8 hours of Top Boy.
One thing I would say in regard to that, if I can,
yes,
yeah, if I may, is you do get that scenario, don't you, where you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so you don't want to take away from Ashley's performance and the rest of the cast that were in it, and we know the parameters within which we work in the industry anyway. So when you get the opportunity, you will seize the opportunity and make the most of it. And again, like I guess we're about to move towards, is that then gives you the opportunity to then get those credits of producer, exec, and so forth. And that was kind of mirrors what's been happening in America. And it also gives us an opportunity now to collaborate better together as well, because now we're all bringing resources and credits to the table that actually give us an opportunity to get the work greenlit, so to speak.
Definitely. Yeah.
Paul, any thoughts?
It's interesting talking about the making of it. You said you knew the writer, Jesse, and of course Saul Dibb, who directed it. I mean, it was an astonishing film to make. It's interesting, his next film was The Duchess, which couldn't be more similar and was a bold move, but he hasn't really made any films since then. Do you know what's happened there? Because he's astonishingly talented.
No, and I know even with Catherine, I don't think she wrote another screenplay that got made since.
Oh,
I think
it's like, what happened there? Because... like in Duchess, I didn't, you know, Keira Knightley, very, you know, period bio-flick kind of,
easy film to get financed,
and it wasn't a huge success, but it wasn't a flop. It was you know, a well-made film. You wouldn't think that.
Do you think if he had maybe stayed within his genre, or kind of told us, you know, just decided kind of the way, say, a Spike Lee did earlier on, or John Singleton, I'm just going to tell these kind of stories that from that world. Do you think that would have benefited him, or?
I don't know. I don't know if they'd be, you say, would they have got made, or would he have felt that he was just going down a path that he'd already trodden? You know, as a filmmaker, I presume you want to
try. Yeah. I know with Catherine, she was very frustrated after. I hope I'm not saying something private. But, you know, it's a kind of groundbreaking film. It's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but it was a big film. And, you know, that she has not had another feature film produced, to me, is kind of shocking.
But I just want to add to that, actually, because you just brought back a memory, because they screened Bullet Boy at the Rio in Dalston, and Catherine was there for the panel, so I did actually have a conversation with her, and I remember some of what I spoke about in the break, you know, being thrown at her, so she would have felt that frustration. And I believe it was probably her first film that was made. So you're just doing your craft. I remember early on in my career when I used to do stand-up, I got berated about my material and just never did it again. And so I can understand that level of frustration when you're just kind of dipping your toe in the water. You don't like know what you're kind of working with, but you've got it made, and then there's all this fallout. That level.
You mean
of
from within the community?
It was from within the community, yeah.
And I've just not
understand.
That.
Yeah, I can imagine, Jesse. Yeah. Just the
what
lay person.
Kind of fallout?
It was exactly what I was saying during the break, so I'm going to say it. Yeah. Like, I watched Bullet Boy in America, and there was no context to the violent, the little boy, and why he was acting out. So there was no reference to his parents, there was no reference to the environment and things like that. So it just had this boy who was just blowing up all over the place, like he had some kind of psychosis. Mm-hmm. And so that didn't read well. And then watching it with a community who wasn't familiar with London, with the UK, with inner city living over here, mm-hmm. they had no kind of context within which to kind of sit this emotional child in, and the environment within which he was living. They just didn't have that. So the conversations I was having with those people who were at the screening was, well, you have to remember, there's still a lot of people in America who don't know that there are black people in England. So never mind, you know, that our lives are mirroring each other to that degree. Wow. So they've got a kind of insight, but from their perspective, which is very, very different.
Hmm. So just felt like, was it just violence for the sake of violence?
It was violence for the sake of violence. It was just this young boy who's just got some issues and he's just, you know, going around just angsting all over the place with no context.
That's interesting because, to us, or I remember seeing it, you know, it's that authenticity that just came off the screen. You know, even if you don't have any experience personally of that community, you're just like, wow, I feel like it's come from an authentic place. But are you filling, do you think people are just filling in the blanks because we just kind of know we're...
Well, I think the judgment call isn't there, because there's a judgment call around black people anyway, about anger and frustration and just lashing out. And so when that is then portrayed on the screen without any context, you're chomping at the bit, Paul. It just doesn't give the audience any kind of buy-in or any kind of empathy necessarily to the character, because they don't have anything to hang it on. My opinion, of course.
Yeah, thanks for that.
he's got nothing to say. You're just dumb.
It's I think the industry, and I think this is why it's so important to talk about people like Ashley and things. It is a problem. It's unequivocally a problem, and it's a problem from all sides, as people have been saying. That, you know, when I've been making things, when we made Colorblind, for instance, you know, the whole essence of that was about trying to get people to understand that there are two sides to this, and they're not remotely. So you've got black people thinking how white people thinking how black people think, and neither are right at all. And this is what we were trying to get when we were doing it with Will and Robert. And we were kind of going, look, this is how people perceive each other, and they're both wrong. And unless we start embracing that and we start kind of going, right, we're going to put things on screen that make sense to a black audience, and we're not really going to care about a white audience. And I think that's been one of the major problems. I remember Don Cheadle kind of saying, everybody's been trying to be brought into the industry, and the problem is they put sort of markers and get, right, we'll get all these black people in. There aren't that much talent there, and the films flop. And then the industry goes, ah, told you. And they move on, and we've got to stop doing that. We've got to kind of embrace our own work, and we've got to start accepting that different audiences need different things. And ultimately, when we make things that are true to us, you will find a wider audience. It does come. We've seen it time and time and time again when people, you know, distributors and the like take the risks. You know, films do flourish. Independent films suddenly become major hits.
Well, in terms of Top Boy and Bullet Boy, so many boys. Top Boy, Bullet Boy. Like I said earlier, I at the time when Top Boy, the first series came out, it was incredible. The reactions. This is before Twitter is what it is now in terms of commentary and what people thought. I mean, that I kind of intimated it earlier. I thought it should have been just a movie, and that actually should have been killed off, but that's just my opinion, because I like drama, you know, I'm like, but that's my thoughts on Top Boy. And obviously what you said, Larasco, earlier about the third series, obviously there's been a lot of talk about the third series, and I know that Ashley wants it to happen, but it's a collective thing, and more often than not, it seems like it's going to come from the States than from the UK in terms of that support and that will that is needed, because clearly the demand is there for it. As for the stories that are going to be told, obviously that's a different discussion. Is it going to be the same old matters, the same old issues, or are we going to move on or evolve? I mean, Obviously, there's been accusations that Ashley is kind of typecast in a way, but then when you mention Small Island and Storm Damage, he's completely a chameleon, which is a word that was used on a previous edition, which I think sums up Ashley. That was you, wasn't it?
That's
how I brought it up. But in terms of America and Ashley in the States as an actor, is that something that he needs to achieve? Or
then he dipped his toe a little bit with Rich with 50 yeah. Cent,
yes.
Right? Yeah. I don't think he needs to. I think, I mean, if he wanted to, it's great. But I think he's got a pretty solid body of work here and a great situation, you know, both in TV and film. It is sometimes, you know, and as this is being said as an American who's lived here for 17 years, sometimes it's kind of disappointing when you see some of the most talented actors and filmmakers leaving for opportunities. It's, you know, when you, it'd be great to see some of them stay or straddle both places so that they can tell the stories that need to be told here as well. Tell the Top Boys and the Bullet Boys stories, because there's a lot more to be that can be told. So I do hope he stays and continues creating work here, you know. Maybe go to the States, but definitely keep telling the stories that, you know, that matter to us over here as well.
I've written something for him.
Oh, you have, Harry?
I'm just letting you know now.
Are you going to tell us? Or?
I'm not going to tell you, no. Oh. Got it.
Okay, we'll leave it there then. Okay, it is Friday night and I'm Emmanuel Masigwe and this is Meeting the Critics. And we are continuing our conversation on the legacy of Ashley Waters, which to this point has been mainly to do with his TV shows. Obviously, we have talked in detail about Bullet Boy and various other films, Get Rich or Die Trying, just before the break that Jesse alluded to there. But I'd just like to take this last part to kind of broaden it out widely, if I can, in terms of Ashley Waters, the person, because you've all met him personally. And I was just wondering whether you each had any anecdotes or I know Isaac's got some anecdotes, which is why he's on. But before we come to him, Jesse, you met him recently. Have you met him prior to?
You know what? I think I interviewed him years ago for The Voice newspaper.
Oh, right. Talk to us about that.
But I can't honestly. This is back like 16 years.
16 years.
It's a long time. It shows how old. Wow. I'll talk about, like, I met him at the Buff lunch, and what struck me about him actually was how soft-spoken he was and how polite and just a really nice person, really gentle. And, you know, you just get a little glimmer of somebody, and that's the thing that really struck me. And that he has, like, was it six kids?
Eight.
Wow. Yes.
I'll never forget that. I'm like, eight.
He's a busy boy. Yeah. But he just seemed like a really gentle soul Yeah, I just, it struck me about him.
Paulette?
I would say humble. He was so humble and so playful and so cheeky. His spirit. I mean, I was doing a piece just to announce, you know, that I was going to be one of the hosts. I think I can say that, right?
Yeah.
Now it's open. And he just kind of jumped into the video and was just playful and just happy to be there and so taken with his birthday cake and just really involved and engaged and just a part of the team, wherever you needed him to be, he was there. And I just love the way he speaks about his children. I was so happy when he got married. I actually tweeted the photograph, like, yes, you know, because that's just so a level of commitment and a level of maturity and just where he is and how grateful he is to his mum, because, you know, I'm the mum. And he's, you know, just really speaks so proudly of her, that, you know, she was mum and dad to him. And, you know, they say if you find a man who speaks well of his mum, there's a good man in that being. Mm. And that comes across every time I see him.
Paul?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a bit of a love fest, isn't it? exactly the same. I mean, I had a moment with him before he had to rush off for his family. And, you know, but that was really his core focus. You know, he'd come, he'd had this amazing announcement, this legacy award. And, you know, he was like, this is great, this is lovely, you sang me happy birthday, but my kids and my family come first. And you're like, you've got to respect that. You know, his entire history has been, you know, he's had an up and down history, but, you know, he seems to have got him really, really self-settled, and he's committed both to his work, but mainly, you know, to his family is just, and yeah, the word humble I think is absolutely apropos in this instance, because he's just a real gentle soul, and I wasn't expecting that, to be honest. It was the first time I met him, so I was expecting a bit of a hard boy, and you know, but he's certainly not a mummy's boy, but he certainly loves his mother.
Paulette, you wanted to jump in there. I'll come to you last.
Oh, okay, yeah, I did. I just wanted to just mention his bounce back ability, because I think we'd be
wicked.
A little bit. Oh, thank you.
That's a great Isaac. Word. That's a great word. Love that word.
Thank you, Dom. Yeah, just because, I mean, this is a love fest, but we do know he's had his scrapes, you know, with the law and just being growing up, you know, as a young person in the inner city. And to overcome that, you know, and to take responsibility in it of himself. And yep, I did wrong. However, that's not the be all and end all of me. I will be back. And just being a great role model to his children. And just the way he's able to convey that, yeah, you'll go out and you'll make mistakes. But you have the opportunity then to rectify those mistakes. Yes, it's better you don't make them, but if you do, it's not the end of the world. And he's living proof of that, because I work with young people in my other jobs, and they need that kind of understanding that, yeah, as my mum would say, you might go out there and buck your toe, but you know, there's a way back. You just got to listen, you learn the lessons, and you come back. And he has done that time and again.
Yeah, because he actually did a show for Channel 4 called Top Dads, where he went interviewing all the different dads. So he's very into it. I said to him, so you're going to write a parenting guide? And he's like, you know, he said, you know, joking, but he said, actually, I never would, because I would never put myself up as someone who knows everything. No. And, you know, you just muddle through, and I'm just there for my kids, which is actually one of the reasons that he isn't going to the States as well. And he said it was important for him that he was, you know, for the youth of Britain, that he sort of stayed as well. So we don't have this talent drain over to the States. But also, you know, he's got eight kids over here.
Yeah.
So
and a wife.
Yeah, exactly.
And a wife. And you know, going back to Top Dads, Lurushka, he also quoted in there that, you know, throw away the rule book. There are no rules. Mm. And that's really honest and really right. He says, I don't know. I'm trying a thing and it's working. And he also makes mention about how different, and I can attest to that, how different he is with his younger children now to how he was with the ones that he had when he was like 17. I've been there, Ashley.
Yeah, he was very, also he was very open with talking about, yeah, going to prison and the troubles that he'd had. You know, he doesn't try and sort of hide it, nor does he try and say, like, you know, this was the making of it, but even though it was obviously important. And he did say, though, that, you know, even though he'd had that, you know, he nearly thought he might go back again a few times. You know, things had come up. It's not like, oh, that life is completely behind me. It's like, that's a bit of a struggle. It keeps kind of coming up. I've got good people around me. This is ongoing. It's not, you know, you wave a magic wand and it's all fine. Mm.
I see.
Yeah, have you got time?
Yes.
So basically, the funny thing is, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who works in music on the way to Glastonbury. And then we were talking about Ashley, because we both went to school with him. And so he's now kind of working with him on a project. And this is a guy that, you know, was part of a group that shifted 100,000 copies of their album in their first week. I think the album went on to sell something stupid like 500,000. It went platinum. You know, to be able to dip into that world and then have a successful career as an actor, you know, many people don't have sort of average careers in either. And I think it's weird, because we don't really quantify success for people of color or black people in the same way as we do for other people, I think, in this country. Because in America, like we're saying, he would be lauded, you know, that's what he's achieved is fantastic, to come from where he's come from and to get to where he went to in his teens, then to go there as a grown man, as an actor. So I think, for me, his legacy is kind of somewhere between, I think he's underappreciated and underrated. And I think we'll probably only start to sort of really appreciate what he did and his craft more as he kind of gets a bit older and starts to maybe choose one or two roles a year that are just far more kind of, you know, discerning and a little bit more considered. And rather than taking on sort of, because if you look at his IMDb page, there's a lot of stuff on there that you probably didn't even know existed, you probably haven't seen, you probably may never watch. But you know, if he can carry on sort of making The Top Boys, you know, a sort of A Hustle, An Inside Men, A Small Island, and kind of just keep that quality level at its kind of on a consistent basis, I think, yeah, he'll go down as one of our very best. And for me, growing up around him and being at school with him and trying to get like the modicum of validation from him when we were playing football or when we were seeing each other on the concourse, or you know, just little moments like that for me were like so important, when I saw his development as a as an actor and as a performer. So yeah, hopefully, touch wood, I'll be working with him again soon.
Well, you said about Ashley being underappreciated, and that that's why it was very important for Buff to give him the honorary award this year. 25 years is a long time in show business or in any career, and to consistently, and I'll say that word again, consistently perform at the top level. His work ethic is unlike anything I've actually kind of witnessed. It's incredible. We've talked about film and TV, theatre, music. The breadth of work, as I said at the top of the show, is just unbelievable. The credits, like you said, Isaac, I've only mentioned half of them. There is so much more that he's done. Yeah. And there's so much more to come, which is like you said, LaRushka, which is the really exciting thing with Ashley. He's only 35 years old. It's incredible. But
Can I just say, I think the great thing as well is what he's done by influencing people like myself and other generations is that they will then, if they want to go into writing for the stage or for the screen, they will write stuff that is true to him, that he is able to really, really embrace and get his teeth into. It won't be a case of him sort of being sort of containing himself for a role. He can fully embrace what they're writing because they all know they'll be from the same place and they'll speak with the same voice and they'll have the same fears and they'll have the same loves and they'll have the same passions. And I think that is something that he probably won't realize as well until he gets to, you know, maybe another 10 years down the line and some kid that was listening to So Solid has written a part for him in his film, which it'll be me.
Well, there has been talk of a So Solid biopic.
Have you heard about this as
well? I have indeed, yes. So
are we allowed to talk about it? Because I wasn't sure.
Well, it's kind of in the air, as it were. Yeah. But this is quite concrete now with that biopic. So obviously, that's going to be really exciting because I'm sure there's a So Solid story that we've heard about, but it's never been brought to the screen. So that in itself will be very exciting. And obviously, when you think of biopics, the Tupac one this year, All Eyes on Me, Straight Outta Compton, which is probably the best I've kind of seen in recent years. I wasn't quite sure about the Tupac one, but I digress a little. But yes, so the So Solid biopic is really one to watch, as they say. So I'm sure that's
interesting director behind it as well, but I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that. So
probably not. But let's just wrap up if we can on Ashley Waters. I mean, we've covered the best bits, I guess we can, and we've kind of talked about Ashley Waters, the man. The UK in general, I mean, I know Isaac mentioned it and I've kind of touched on it. In terms of appreciating people like Ashley, what more do you think needs to be shown by the public, by the press, by the media? Because it's not as if Ashley needs to prove himself, I don't think. So is there an issue in terms of adulation? Maybe that's the wrong word, or respect. Or are we saying that Ashley is pretty much at the top of the tree in terms of one of our best actors?
I mean, definitely institutions like Buff celebrating his career are important. I think, I don't know, I always have this, my own feeling is we shouldn't wait for validation. We should, you know, crack on and build the infrastructure so that we can work within it. And I think he's done that. He's been very innovative in the way he works, which is why he's, and maybe part of his eclectic or versatile approach is just, you know, he seems like just a natural storyteller and he's just been consistent with that. He strikes me as a kind of person that just very, very centered and very fulfilled with his work and doesn't seem to be waiting for anybody, which I really admire and respect in him. So I think he should just keep doing what he's doing. You know, and the adulation and respect will come. I mean, it's already there for many places.
Pull out your
mean an arm. I am a little bit from my perspective. Thank you. It's challenging. It's those who know, and those who don't. And so yes, I agree. You do just get on with the work, which he's done. And because he's come from the street, he's not a hustler in that sense. But he's a grinder. Like the way he got into Soul Solid was just calling up, I think it was Supreme FM, when Mega Man and those guys were on there. So he's got that, I'm going to go and do this attitude anyway. But I think for generations coming up, a lot of the time as individuals in the black community working hard, a lot of the stuff, I mean, that Supreme was a pirate station. So we're always coming from way down. the food chain. And it's nice once you've transcended that to be applauded on the wider platforms, on the international platforms, not only just by your peers in your community. I think it's important so that the younger people have that to look up to and to aspire to, because if you know, you know, and if you don't, you don't.
I still think there's that thing of he just maybe needs one more crossover kind of role, or you know, like Top Boy was so commercial and did so much for everyone involved in that for their sort of profile, and I feel like there's just one more, but there is one more of those coming for him. You can see it's like there feels like there's another kind of bit of momentum behind him now, and there are some of the stuff that he's got coming up sounds amazing. So yeah, I think there'll be like a really nice crossover thing that will then mean that we, you know, the validation will be there and the praise will be there from places that probably hadn't done it before.
Yeah, I've been reliably informed that it's sooner than you think, Isaac.
But,
I won't divulge. I think we've divulged too much already. But Laraska?
I guess it's just, yeah, what are the roles that are out there? What are the opportunities that are out there? I mean, I think he's very, very well respected, and I think it is brilliant having this award and recognising, yeah, 25 years, my God, that he's done that. I'm quite curious to know what he was like at school, actually, Isaac. It must have been ambitious from the off, was he? Was he like the cool kid in the school?
Yeah, totally. When I started, he was, I think he's about 2 years older than me, maybe, and when, or 2 or 3 years older than me. But when I started, there were rumours around the school that this kid had been in Indiana Jones. So everyone was like, oh my God, he's which is like huge. And then, yeah, he's really nice and humble. And, you know, he's a teenager. He was like acting out a bit like we all were, but yeah, he was a really cool guy, and he had magnetism. That was the thing that you could tell. There was just his presence. When you were in his presence, there was this kind of star quality, which I guess kind of grows once you are being encouraged to display it, which he was. And I remember our drama teacher as well, she loved him, and she was amazing. Like, she was a great drama teacher, and I think she did a lot. I'd like to think that she had a lot of kind of input into the formative years of his career. But he was just a wicked guy. He was lovely, and yeah. And then when So Solid blew up, it was just like, okay, this guy's like, we hadn't seen that side of him at school. So do you know what I mean? You see So Solid, and you're like, oh, he's got that string to his bow as well. So yeah.
And Paulette, you mentioned that he was trained at Sylvia Young.
Yeah, from my research, I did my homework. Yeah, Sylvia Young, which was an eye opener. Because a lot of young people, and that's why I would love to meet his mum, because I have to applaud his mum. As a single mum, she obviously was fully aware that you need to keep these boys busy to get them through. And even though I read some of the articles about when he was in trouble, and she was saying that she was really surprised, because, you know, she did keep him busy, she got him involved. And going to drama school, and now hearing Isaac about his drama teacher as well, he was already being honed for this great career that is happening, and I would love more of that to happen for a lot more of our young people.
I tell you what, the day after Storm Damage was shown on BBC, everyone came into school and had watched it, no matter what age you were. That was kind of like a huge event. Everyone was like, did you watch Storm Damage last night? Oh my God. And this is obviously before Twitter, this is before Facebook, you know. We literally all were just in awe of that show, especially because a lot of the guys that I hung out with were from South London, and that was all shot in Brixton. So it was just like seeing Brixton on the screen on primetime BBC television, then coming into school and seeing the guy from it. You'd be like, well, this is crazy. So yeah, that was a big deal. That was a proper big deal.
I think his life actually reflects Morgan Freeman's. You know, Morgan kind of started in school, got a, you know, sort of won drama awards, and didn't really get a breakthrough film until he hit 50. And I'm hoping it's going to be a lot earlier for Ashley. But you know, he's done the groundwork. He's, you know, and I think, as everybody's saying, there is a breakthrough coming through. But equally, I think as well, I think we often miss the point of self-publicity, and a lot of people kind of hiding behind bushels and expect the industry to cover the PR and everything else, and they're just not doing that. They don't have people's profiles in the way they should. And I think sometimes as a group of us, you know, we need to be promoting that. We need to be getting people out there and going, look, you know, let's not wait for the machines to do this. Let's push forward ourselves as a group, as a society. You know, let's put these people on the pedestals they deserve and not wait for the media to do it. And especially with the drive of social media and everything else, now we're in a much, much different place, as opposed to sort of waiting for an award or waiting for the newspaper to break a story, that we can now go, look, you've got to go watch this, you've got to see this. And I think that now really is the new driver for the 21st century, where we can actually put these people where they belong, because there is now a platform for us to go see. And I think we should do a lot more of that.
So there we are, from Ashley Waters to Tupac to to Morgan Freeman. Only on Meet the Critics. Our time is up. My thanks to this week's critics, who have been Jesse Quinones, Paulette Harris-German, Paul Atherton, Laroshka Ivanzada, and Isaac Tomacek. I'm Emmanuel Anuensigwe, and on behalf of everyone on Meet the Critics, thank you for listening.